The Sean Salisbury Show continues now with the Benchwarmers. Here's Sean Salisbury.
Welcome back to the Sean Salisbury Show. Robin and Brian, Adam and Ron Culver. We're joined now by a guy who's played for, well, with 30 for 30 on the Celtics and the Lakers. Guys played for both franchises. I think the run with L.A. was a little bit better as far as winning championships. But
easy on my Celtics,
yeah,
man.
There you go. Beating Brian Barrett's Celtics up. We're joined by a guy who works for NBA TV and does a whole bunch of stuff. Actor, analyst, been a player, and has done it all. And he joins us now on the Sean Salisbury Show. He's a friend of the show. Rick Fox joins us. Rick, welcome. Good to have you on.
Thanks, Sean.
Let's start. Yeah, well, all's good, and we appreciate you coming on. Let's, before we get to the NBA Finals and close out the season and talk a little bit about that, let's talk about your esports franchise, Echo Fox. Explain that and what it is, especially for those people out there who aren't video gamers. What's happening?
Well, I don't know how you could live in today's world and not be a video gamer, first off. I grew up, my first taste of competition was through video games at a young age of 12 years old with the Atari 2600, and I kept playing games throughout my midway era, where I would compete at Galaga and this Pac-Man in the bowling alley with friends, and so I have a background in competition that goes back to finding video games at a young age. Obviously, I became a decent enough basketball player to make it to the NBA and win championships, but along the way, I continued my love for it. It was an additional outlet in competition, and it led me to have a son who I shared that passion with, who grew up without the shame of loving playing video games, and has a career now as a game designer. He introduced me to what was transpiring in the world of esports as a whole, and how kids of his generation and age were making careers and being sponsored and becoming professional gamers, and that has led to an industry that is popping up everywhere. And I happen to own, with some of my partners, an eSport organization with 45 professional athletes across the board in a number of different games. And we continue to grow and expand. And the viewership and the interest is limitless right now. And if you ask any of your friends who have kids or kids yourself, you'll know that whether you're on your phone competing mobily with games or at home on any of the console devices or on your PC or laptop, kids are interacting competitively through video games these days as well.
Okay, Rick, if we were going to put you, is there any game that you're not good at? If I had said, okay, pick a game that you can take on any NBA dude or any kid, and you're going to compete with them and beat them, what's your specialty?
I'd find it hard-pressed for anyone to beat me in a Galaga matchup. I'm also H1Z1. I'm pretty proficient in H1Z1. Any of the games, the sporting Madden games over the years, I played consistently. Enjoyed that because it allowed me the opportunity once I made it to the pros to actually get more shots in a video game than I was getting on the court. So I enjoyed playing, not playing with myself in the game, not playing with myself outside the game.
So what if you're playing a football, like a Madden football, what team would you choose?
I was a Patriot. I ran a lot with the Patriots for years. When it was college, it was Notre Dame. In my era in college, Notre Dame was dominating, so I played with Notre Dame a lot. I like to throw the ball. I like to get up and down and score a ton of points. So the offense and structure of those teams were set when it came to competing in any of the video games. They had wide open success.
Rick, have you seen the newest 30 for 30 with the Lakers Celtics? Have you seen that yet?
I just saw the highlights. I saw Jackie McMullen on TV this morning talking about the 30-30, and I grew up in that era,
right?
And I played obviously for both franchises, and I was I was a rookie under the last year of the Big Three with Kevin and Robert and Larry Bird, drafted by Red Auerbach. So I have some of that that Celtic lore and the old Boston Garden. I experienced all of that. Johnny Most is the announcer, tells you how old I am. And watching Bob Cousy call games with Tommy Heinsohn. So I was a part of the Celtics, so I understood that side. But then Jerry West recruits me away to come be a part of the Laker run and so there I am under Dr. Buss and experiencing the likes of Magic Johnson in the hallways and Jerry West is the GM, and then Phil Jackson comes along with Shaq and Kobe, and we have quite the run. So I've seen both sides, and it's something I'm looking forward to watching because I have a unique perspective.
Rick with that. Rick Fox joins us, NBA TV, longtime NBA player, 13 seasons, gamer, does it all, actor, here on the Sean Salisbury Show. Rick, with it, with being in both, you were able, like you said, to walk where the Boston Garden, where the ball, the dead spot on the floor, and at the fabulous Forum, and with these great players in both, and different types of franchises, one more flash, one more, you know, hardcore, beat you down in Boston. What's a more historic franchise, the Lakers or the Celtics?
Oh, they're equally. I mean, I think they're tied at the hip. You know, they you can't mention one without the other. I don't think anymore. They were so iconic in both of their in many eras, but especially in the 80s. And then when you look up in the rafters of both franchises, you see multiple championships to begin with, and then also legends of the game. Top 50 legends of the game, and not just one or two, multiple. So I would like to think that from the East to the West Coast, they've defined the NBA in both iconic fashions, different styles, as you mentioned, but a whole lot of substance from both.
Rick, we talk about rings and we describe our quarterbacks or our pitchers. We talk about great players in basketball. And with the finals just ending, Kevin Durant gets his first championship ring. How important should it be, and is it, that we put rings and legacy together?
Well, I have rings, right? I know a lot of great players far greater than I was as individuals in the game that don't have rings, that I sometimes look and I wish they had experienced that, because it doesn't make them any less of a player, doesn't make them any less of a legend or a team player in that sense. Only certain people leave this game with the championship experience, and I know many of them have sacrificed, many of them have chased the opportunity, giving up money, giving up comfort in many ways, sacrificed their bodies, and still fallen short. So I personally don't judge an individual's overall career based on whether or not they carry a ring. When especially they've been MVPs of the league, or they've been multiple times scoring champions and defensive award winners, or when they've been celebrated for their excellence, over the course of their career multiple times, All Star appearances and whatnot. To do those kind of things, especially when you create longevity, that to me, when you cross over 9 years, you start heading into the 10 years and up, and you've proven to be able to stay in the game and play at a high level for 13, 14, 15 years, and in some cases 20, and some of the guys that have played that long don't have rings. That's, more, to me, more an accomplishment than anything.
Yeah, and your 13-year career, you get it. What was your, initially, when Kevin Durant left to go to Golden State, what was your initial thought last year?
Well, I thought he, first and foremost, was a free agent. I know how difficult it was for him to have made that decision and have it land and resonate glowingly across the landscape of the NBA. It wasn't going to happen, right? I mean, he'd left a huge mark, and it's really a credit to what he did in Oklahoma, because he impacted a lot of lives. It grew a franchise that had moved from Seattle. He grew up there in Oklahoma City with them. So the loss was going to be a difficult one for not only him, but for them to really have to deal with. But I back in July 4th or 5th, I remember tweeting out that I said, quiet the noise, don't worry about the comments, because at the end of the day, you want to leave the game having won a championship, because it's something that not everyone understands. You play the game to win it, to be a champion. He'd won an MVP, he'd fought, and I think, quite frankly, he needed to figure out how to get there. Maybe he, like LeBron, didn't know how to lead yet to a championship level, right? LeBron went to Miami and he partnered with Dwayne Wade, who had been there, and Pat Riley, who had been there, and Chris Bosh, obviously. That's kind of what KD did to another level, right? He went to an organization that knew how to win. He's now learned that. But he played at a high level, being MVP and proving that he's now a champion. And it kind of quiets some of the critics. Some will say, well, you needed to go there to do it. Well, look, man, winning a championship at the end of the day, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, no one's going to remember a lot of this stuff. People will remember that he's a champion. Let him go and win 3 or 4 or 5 more, Like that, and it's right there. How do you judge him for making a poor decision then?
And, Rick, we're under this fodder of who the GOAT is currently, and LeBron and Michael. With KD, it's obvious you hold him in high regard. Did he elevate in your mind as a player through this 5 games and a championship?
Yes, and he did it. He did it on the defensive floor, and the floor for me, really showcasing his the 360 to his game, not just the one end floor. He scores the ball so well, and obviously, we celebrate that in our game, right? When you can score with ease like he does. But he also made big plays. He made clutch baskets. He was a star among a lot of great stars on that floor. Does it make him the best player in the game right now? It definitely puts him on par for a conversation with LeBron, for sure. But LeBron's not going anywhere for at least another 2 years. And I look to see what his reaction and response to this in the offseason will be.
What should we lend more credence to? LeBron James getting teams to 8 championships or the fact that he lost 5 of them?
The eight championships. That's amazing. I mean, that to me should be celebrated. It's hard enough to play into June 1 or 2 or 3 years in a row. For him to have done it 8 years in a row, I know what his body must be going through and must feel like. Because I just went 4 out of 5 years, and things just started breaking. Now, I'm not superhuman like LeBron in that regard. Physically, he's gifted. But, man, just mentally and to stay that focused and to be driven and to find the new challenges and to change locations and to still take a new group of teammates who've never been there in some cases and teach them how to win. That type of leadership, he's setting the standard at a higher level than we've seen it. We've seen it in the Celtics. Some of those guys did it. But this is a different era. And so what he's continued to do, and who's to say he won't do it for a couple more years? This is a man that can end up going to the finals maybe 10 years in a row.
Rick Fox joins us here on the Sean Salisbury Show. A couple questions, a couple minutes left with Rick. Do you see anything in the next 12 months that tells you that the Warriors won't repeat next year? Is there anything you could see that'll tell you they're not going to repeat?
No, because you know what? What people forget is that even with that lineup that they have, they're going to get better. They're going to fill pieces in that roster that will make them better. And there's something about a second run to a championship or a defense of a championship. We saw this, what they did 73-9 after they won that first championship without Kevin Durant. They're a pretty darn good team. Bogut goes down, gets injured. Draymond Green gets suspended for a game. It created history for LeBron and his teammates to make, but man, We saw what they were like full strength this year again, and they'll be even better next year.
Okay, we got a minute left, but I got to ask you, put your humble Rick Fox aside and just player competitiveness, 2001 Lakers, 2017 Golden State Warriors, who wins?
Well, I believe we win because of Shaquille O'Neal and Kobe Bryant. I just don't understand. I don't understand who guards Shaq, and I saw it on so many different levels up close, obviously. He demands not one, but two, but three players to stop him. When you have to send that much attention, it's why so many of us, Robert Horry, Derek Fisher, myself, Brian Shaw, that's why we were able to do the things we were able to do, because it freed us up in so many ways. And then we defended just as well as they defended. Kobe Bryant's the wild card in that equation, right? Because you put him on, I don't know, just similar to Kevin Durant being that mismatch. Shaquille was that mismatch for a team. But we had two guys that were a mismatch. No one's locking up Kobe Bryant. No one's locking up Shaq. And it's great at defenses. And I love the way the Golden State Warriors play. This is not a knock on them. I love Klay Thompson's focus on defense, because the way he shoots the ball makes him a two-way player. I love Draymond's energy and the way he defends. I love the way they all defend. Steph Curry doesn't get credit for it.
Right.
Iguodala is a defensive mind. So there's strength there. I just think that it's who can get to, it would be who could get to their style of play. The triangle offense has won 11 championships, I think, in 13 years.
Yeah.
Let's see them run off a few more. And let's see them add a piece that could defend Shaquille O'Neal. I don't think Kevin Durant, as great as he is, would be able to put a body on Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah, neither would Zaza Pachulia. So you're exactly right, and I'll take the Lakers. Hey, Rick, great stuff, man. That's awesome information. We'll look forward to having you on again, and we always appreciate you joining us, bud.
Okay, great.
Great. Rick Fox, you can find him on NBA TV, former actor. Not former, I wasn't sure, an actor. He's still doing it, and obviously big in the gaming, so... We'll come back out of that and talk a little bit about it. I'll lean with my Lakers too, Barrett. I'll leave it at that. Not your Celtics, the 2001 Lakers. But up next, Wrath of Sean. And I'm going to get after the – we had Charlie Epson. I'm going to get after the golfers here at Erin Hills in Wisconsin, the U.S. Open. That's up next.